Now, tonight's topic is definitely appropriate for Shavuos. My longer topic, which is not what Shmuel has been on the website, is entitled "From Approaching Har Sinai and Leaving from It." We have the Yontif of Shavuos coming up. And I just looked it up tonight. There's a famous Sfas Emes, which the way he says it for Shavuos is quite amazing. The Sfas Emes, and really the Ramchal says the same thing in one of those other Sfarim of the Ramchal, the Derech Hashem, that every single Yontif, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Teva of the world, that there's a certain kochos. Certain kochos of that yontif are always there. Meaning, you know, it's pashat stuff. On Tezvav, right, the 15th of Nisan, the kochos, the special sechusim that Klal Yisrael had when they went out of Mitzrayim, that's in the world again every year on the 15th. And you could connect to Yitzis Mitzrayim. You could be Fika Anachlu Chayavim, Liros is Atzmo, Ki'il Yotzim Mitzrayim, you could actually feel it. There's a certain Kedusha, a certain Siyat Dishmaya that's in the air of Pesach, the 15th of Tishrei. We could feel what it means to be Bitzel de Himnusa, to be in the shade of Hashem in our Sukkos. We could realize what it means, Hashem, to protect us from all sides as we shake our Luv and Esrog. We could connect with the deeper, mystical, Ruchnius feelings of Yontif. The same thing applies to the Yontif of Shavuos. In particular, the Sfas Emes spells out, didn't get it from my Sfas Emes, I got it from the Sifsei Chaim, Chel Kimmel. But in particular, he says, is the concept of a Kabbalah Satora on the Yontif of Shavuos. That every year, in the Yontif of Shavuos, just like B'nai Yisrael said, Nas V'Nishma, and that was a tremendous schus of them, which allowed them to be mekabel the Torah. And through them being mekabel the Torah, they got a tremendous hashpa of the Torah. So too, every Jew who experiences, and seemingly you need a little bit more than just experience, but do it the right way, learning Torah, appreciating what the Yontif is, but you're mekabel the Torah on the Yontif of Shavuos, that gives a person a schus for kabbalas Torah for the year, really beyond the year, for his life. And who wouldn't want a schus of Kabbalah Satorah for themselves? You know, after all, we did all stand on the Har Sinai. So to connect back our neshamas to that amazing period of time, that's really what we're trying to do in the Yontif of Shavuos. Very nice mystical idea. I see you guys making faces. So how exactly do I do it? I remember years ago I was in the mirror, and one of the Rebbeim was describing that he thought the highlight of Kabbalah Satorah is the Kabbalah O Malchus Shemayim of Kriya Shema. He was trying to rev people up, even if you stay up the whole night, but that Kabbalah Satorah of Kriya Shema, that's where the Kabbalah Satorah is. Or when you stand up for Aseres Hadibros, I don't know, the guys who stay up all night, it's pretty hard to get through davening and this. That's your Kabbalah Satorah. I'm not sure exactly where it is, but it's on the Yontif of Shavuos. That being said, simple ha'ara. It's a pretty big shame that we have the Yontif of Shavuos at the end of Zman. If really the Yontif of Shavuos is sort of like the Rosh Hashanah, is like the beginning of the year. It's a Kabbalah Satorah from now for the rest of the year, for the rest of my life. I'm having Kabbalah Satorah on Shavuos, and especially we have a Schus. What better place in the world to be Mekabel Torah than by Har Sinai, and here in the yeshiva. This is a Shavuos I'm not spending in my house. Okay, I might miss out a few flavors of cheesecake, some extra food that they have in my shul in New York, but whatever. I'm here in yeshiva. This is a place of tremendous learning. Baruch Hashem, the yeshiva is so vibrant here in the Yontif Shavuos between the Beis Medrash, the Sifta, people from the neighborhood, alumni who come in, there's a real pulse, a real vibe that goes on there. Anyone who's experienced knows what I'm talking about. On the Yontif Shavuos, it's really, really nice. Pilpul Sher, Stam guys learning about Hasmada, first night, second night. It's a big deal. So, on the third night they sleep. But it really is the best place in the world to be mekabel the Torah is in the yeshiva. Okay, but I'm mekabel the Torah for Ben Azmanim. But next thing I know, I'm out the door. Next thing I know, I'm leaving. How's that play out? So I have two suggestions to answer that question. What if I'm going to be mekabel the Torah here in Yom Tov for Shavuos? So this year, I don't think Shavuos will come out any later. You know, basically, it's like the Masefta, the high school. After Shavuos, like yeshiva is over. Like most of taking funnels before Shavuos, like Shavuos is like over. Okay, by all, Baruch Hashem, we have another 10 days, a little more, till the end of the Zman. But after that, it's a, you know, it's a sprint. There's not much left before we get off the summer Zman. But it's a very short period. So I'm b'mekabel Torah for what? So I have two answers to the kasha, just to motivate ourselves. First pshat, first priority, is to finish off the Zman strong. Is the way of the world, especially, right? We're frail human beings. We're naturally lazy. And, you know, there are guys who might have told themselves mentally, I'm done. I'm done. It's been a long year. Two others. So much going on. I can't do it anymore. So to that mindset, you need a Shavuos. A guy who goes through the Yom Tov of Shavuos and is makabel the Torah, goes about it in a positive way. You want that, hopefully, will fuel a person that I'll finish off the last week and a half of yeshiva very strong. Chazal say, HaKol Holech Achar Sof. Everything goes after the end. It's a mentality, affects you emotionally. But it's true also, it's a schus. If you finish off strong, that's a mila for the whole year. Who did I hear such an idea from, besides the Chazal? I remember years ago, hearing from Rosh Arieli. He spoke about the inyan of learning Stark on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Now, usually of all the days in the calendar, like we're giving Seder an Erev Shavuos, but we don't give Seder an Erev Rosh Hashanah. But, you know, of all the days, you know, maybe we should have Seder an Erev Rosh Hashanah. Because it's the last day of the year. The Chai Adam spells out this idea that if you do tshuva one day of the year, it's as if you did tshuva the whole year. And you spend the day involved in Torah and Ma'asim Tovim. So that's a great way to do things. And Rav Asher was pushing people, whatever they can, to try to shteig on Erev Rosh Hashanah. So Kol Shekein, you have a Zman. You want to finish off the Zman well. You know, if you're a third-year guy, it's the end of the road, or if you're everyone else, whatever cheshbonos, whatever situation, you want to finish off a Zman well. So we should take Be'ezus Hashem, whatever inspiration we have from the Yom Tov of Shavuos, we'll be tired for sure the day after. Right, Mikey? The third night, you'll be exhausted. Maybe you shouldn't stay up the second night. They asked the Shaila, I told them they should keep the lights on, the AC on. But, Maisa, you know, it's definitely going to be tiring. Hashem, the first day after Shavuos is Tuesday morning. You know, it's already the middle of a week. But don't give up on it. Do whatever you can to finish off the Zman strong as well. Bekiyas Chavrusas should make up quotas of how much you want to chop around in the last week and a half. Just chop and chop. Obviously, there might be things going on in yeshiva that'll take away and this, but try to make a quota. Try to make establish something you could do. You want to finish strong. Learn a little bit extra. So that's the first priority. Finish off the Zman well. But I think the second priority, where do you take that inspiration that Be'ez Hashem we're all going to have in the Yom Tov Shavuos, where do we take it, besides finishing off the Zman well? I think we should pack it in our suitcases wherever we go. Whether it's for some Ben Azmanim, Be'ez Hashem is supposed to come back next year, or some people's suitcases is a one-way ticket. pack it in. Whatever that inspiration, take that inspiration beyond just the Yom Tov Shavuos, beyond even the week and a half we have after. Take it with you in your suitcase forever. Now, Rebbe, that sounds inspiring. That sounds sad. That sounds this. How do we go about doing it? What exactly does that mean? So that's what I have, this beautiful piece from the Altar of Slobodka. The altar has a piece. This is in Chelek Gimel of the Or HaTzafon. It's going on the famous Parsha and Parshas Baloska by Ibn Sotel Aron. If you look inside the Sefer Torah, next time they do Hagba, a real big one. We're getting close to it already. So you'll see there are two nuns, right? Right side up, upside down. Right, the two nuns blocking off the parsha of Ibn Sohar. So Chazal bothered by, obviously, why did the Torah put nuns in there? The answer is that it's trying to, the Gemara in Shabbos, trying to separate between pranius and pranius, between two bad things. Okay? So the second bad thing is pretty clear. Vayiham ki misonanim. Misonanim was a whole thing in the Bnei Yisrael complaining and then brought about magefas and bad stuff. What was the first pranios? So Chazal say, the first pranios is that they, Bnei Yisrael left Har Sinai, ketinach abarech mibeis ha-sefer. I might say over this Ortz often every year, but it's so kedai. Like a kid leaving yeshiva, mama's perfect for this time of year. That's the two pranios, two tragedies. One tragedy, the Bnei Yisrael complaining and causing magefa. And the other one is that they left Har Sinai like a kid. First and foremost, you know, I always thought running at the end of the school year is pretty healthy and normal. What's so bad about that? It's pranius. It's a big tragedy. Okay, our Chazal judged, obviously, the Dor Dei on a very high standard. And, they're held accountable. But what exactly did they do wrong? The altar goes through that. When the Bnei Yisrael left Har Sinai, that was Api Hashem Yachanu, Api Hashem Yiso. The only reason they left Har Sinai was Hashem told them to. So they weren't doing anything wrong. They're following orders. The clouds move, they move. And where are they going to? They were running, actually, to the next stage, which hopefully would have been going to Eretz Yisrael. So that's a good thing to run to. I'm going from mitzvah to mitzvah. I'm going from Har Sinai. Hashem told me to leave. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. So what did I do wrong? I ran. What's wrong with running? So the altar explains, and in a piece in Chelek Aleph, he connects us with the famous Yaakov and putting Dina in the box. That there's sometimes the action itself you did is the correct action. Of course, Bnei Yisrael is supposed to travel, supposed to move. Hashem told him to move. But the fault lies in their feelings of how they did it. They were supposed to move, but it should have been emotionally harder for them to leave Har Sinai. Why should it be hard to leave Har Sinai? So I'll let the altar do the talking. He writes in the third paragraph, right in the middle of the page there. El bar karkinu, right? It's mukhrach. The altar said mukhrach shmuzim. El bar karkinu shapirishu. Sha'amnon etzim pu'ulas ha'nesiyah mehar Sinai, ha'isa kohol gemal pi Hashem. Leaving Har Sinai was the right thing to do. That's what Hashem told us. Aval b'shemayim ro b'toch matzpunei libam. Hashem saw in the depth of their heart. Daki dakos. Pu'ulas ha'nesiyah mehar Sinai, ha'isa kohol, aval b'shemayim ro b'toch matzpunei libam, shel ha'gisho etzat sar ha'darish, al shar aleim li notek mimakom shalom du bo Torah. They should have felt worse, should have had more anguish leaving the place where they learned Torah. Even if their leaving was for a mitzvah, they're leaving a makom where they learned Torah. They're leaving Har Sinai. Parish from Torah is Parish Menachayim. It should have pained them. The altar explains further to end the kama misyachis Torah b'chumra rabba kizu. Look how much the Torah relates in very harsh terms. Chumra rabba. Pagam kal kizesh nisosam in Har Sinai. This little pagam that they had leaving Har Sinai. Im kinasas alpit sav Hashem l'shem kiyam mitzvos yishavar eretz Yisrael. Ha'isu yosim bidei kal aleim. Mikanalina lomo lakach l'maisalonu. You know what we should practically take from this piece? The Talmidei HaYeshiva. Shlo yeilonu kal lazav as a yeshiva. Talmidei Slabotka. Shouldn't be easy to leave yeshiva. Hamakom shanu lomdim bo Torah. This place where we're learning Torah. V'yavshi yitzorech l'lechaz aprakam. Yonam yachreichem. Look, sometimes we have to leave to do practical things. Tiyakasha apreda. It should be very hard to leave. Yargisha b'chol makom es kesher yeshiva. Sharoshi yitofesh tamen b'machshava shatora v'yirshamayim. Rabbi Luban told me multiple times he heard the shmu said over by Meir Chadash. Meir Chadash said this over the Shem the altar. And the way he used to teach this up, I'll get to in a moment. But look what the altar's saying. There's a special taina on the Bnei Yisrael. How could they leave Har Sinai? They learned Torah, this and that. How could they just walk away? It was the right thing to do. The kasha was, they're following orders. You're right, they're supposed to leave. But there's two ways you walk out. Just like there's two ways Yaakov Avinu should have banged those nails into the box. You could leave, but you should leave with a heavy heart. You should leave like, oy. It's so hard to say goodbye. That should be the proper hargasha the altar tells us that a yid should have. But l'chor, there's another step. Remember I said the shmooze over once at the dinner for my nesifta, Chavetz Chaim in Queens. The lashon of the Chazal is very funny. It's tinek abereach mibeis ha-sefer. So according to the altar, what's the taina? The taina is, they should have had, obviously it's not the running away, but it's the hargasha. Like, it's as if you're running away. You should have felt it more. What should they have felt more? Well, they just went and did a monumental thing. So the line that Rabbi Luban always says over Meir Chadash, you should have brought with souvenirs. What's the souvenir from Har Sinai? I don't know, you know, one of those Har Sinai is in the snow, right? Luban used to tell us in Eretz Yisrael, a piece of the mountain, you should take a rock from Eretz Yisrael. He was very into that. Everyone should take back a rock from Eretz Yisrael. I don't know. He told us we could take rocks. He gave us permission. I remember my first year I came back from Eretz Yisrael, I had a rock, right, Luban said. Luckily, I didn't check my bags. But, so I get it, there's a souvenir. But what's a souvenir for? I assume Pashtus, according to the altar, it would be a souvenir because you experienced Maimon Har Sinai. That awesome climactic event, seminal event in the history of the world, definitely in the history of the Jewish people. Kabbalah Satorah, Har Sinai, Kolos of Rakam, Hashem spoke to us. All the blind were healed. The deaf could hear. Everything just transformed overnight. You're at Har Sinai, so you should remember that moment. That's not what Chazal say. Chazal don't say we should remember Har Sinai. What's the taina? That they ran away from Har Sinai? Ketinak habareach mibeis hasefer. The taina is they're leaving a place where they learn Torah. The altar, when he says it's over, is even mashma this way. The taina is the ma'asad Har Sinai. They learned Torah. They heard the first two dibros. They eventually heard everything else from the Targumon. They learned Torah there. Sounds like even greater than you read the Rambans about what Maimon Har Sinai is. It's a shorish of Emuna, right? You could take all the art scroll books from Living Emuna, Volume 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8, English, Yiddish, French. That pales in comparison to standing by Har Sinai, what the Emuna of Maimon Har Sinai is. But you know what? the emunah, whatever you gain from Maimon Har Sinai, there's a bigger aspect of Maimon Har Sinai. Just the plain, simple application, you're leaving yeshiva. You're leaving a place where you learn Torah. And therefore, that yesod is applicable, the altar says, to every person leaving yeshiva. It's not a din in Maimon Har Sinai. It's a din, atina kabarech mi beis ha-sefer. It seems the aspect of a beis ha-sefer trumps the aspect of Maimon Har Sinai. Maimon Har Sinai is shtei dinim. It's the makom emunah, but it's also makom Torah. This hergasha, if I'm witnessing a seminal event, I'll get a t-shirt, I'll get souvenirs, I witness Maimon Har Sinai. No, it's bigger than that. You learnt at Har Sinai. You learned Torah and Yeshivas Har Sinai. That's what you should be remembering, because that's a bigger step even. I think that second step is mind-boggling. But it builds up what it really means when a person's in yeshiva. You can learn all you want. Talmud Torah exists in many forms. But the form from Maimon Har Sinai Ad Hayom of yeshiva is a special thing, a makom Torah where you learn. And to walk away from that is Parash Menachayim. And it behooves a person. It's not an easy thing. There's a tain in the Bnei Yisrael. The Dor Dea, they miss the shmuz. They didn't hear the shmuz. They made a mistake. The Torah wants to focus us and teach us the lesson. Put those nuns upside down in the Torah. Call this the ultimate pranius. This is the tragedy. Not respecting, not appreciating what a person has in his time in yeshiva is a big deal. You have to, it's not voda. You have to appreciate what it means to leave a yeshiva. And memela, then the next step comes. How do you recognize that? How do you deal with that? But the first step is to recognize it. You have to recognize that a yeshiva is a special place. Even more special than Maimon Har Sinai itself. It's a makom Torah. And when you leave a makom Torah, you have to feel sad. You have to feel nostalgic. It has to be something which is not easy to do. So, let's talk practically. A few minutes. I was debating, a couple of years ago, I remember I did this piece with the third year guys, Thursday Musser. Go through this piece. I remember I was doing it with one of the guys today. He's kind of hard and kolo. I remember him bawling away. I was like, oh boy. Guess the altar is pretty powerful. But yeah, this is a big deal. Big yesod. But I decided it's kedai to do it this year, not just with the third year guys, with everybody in yeshiva. And okay, wait, so give the vod next week, the week after. No. I think you need hachana to do this well. The more hachana we have, the better. Firstly, if we have this mindset going in that we should appreciate what a yeshiva is and it's not easy to leave, that itself could inspire us on another level to finish this man strong, to have a strong shvuas, for sure. But I think it also carries through, and it's a good mindset. I'm sure we'll talk about it more. Coming into next Shabbos, it'll be a legacy Shabbos. Guys will hear speeches from the older guys in yeshiva, leaving and this. Now, it's interesting, by the 12th grade graduation Shabbos, they did a good job. My wife reminded me, last year the speeches were not so good. It's not our present company excluded. But this year's guys, they made like strict rules. They had to have it written ahead of time and looked over by a Rebbe. So, okay, Baruch Hashem, it was much better. But the Swedish guys, it comes straight from the heart. But, right, so the more preparation, the more a guy lives in the sugya, how I present myself. I remember, the Gedolei Olam from previous Doros, the guy's mom was just working about what they're going to say, how they're going to say it, do it, like this guy, like that. Like, I remember Mamash Chedushim. I remember we had a thing. It was, like, fun. I sit there with the first-year guys. We reflect back Sunday morning after everyone heard all their speeches. Okay, who's your favorite speech? This guy says, that guy's speech. I couldn't believe that guy said that. Really? Like, these guys look back at their years. Again, we're not holding every third-year guy's words to be Divrei Chazal. But, like, the guy's like, really? He considered that to be his biggest accomplishment in yeshiva? Wow. I remember, like, the lines. Different things guy says. Like, whoa. But it's a beautiful minhag we have here in Miami. Special thing that we have, which I think is beautiful. Very healthy, very good. For guys to, you know, it's a schus the guys have. But I thought of four ways that people should stay connected. It's a yesod for people leaving yeshiva, and it's applicable to all of us, because you know, at some point in time, people are going to leave yeshiva, whether you're first-year guy, second-year guy, third-year guy, whatever it is. So I thought of four ways for a person to stay connected to yeshiva. And I think each of these four ways, if you could do more than one of the four, kol kavod, are a meaningful way to stay connected and will serve a person well, Be'ezer Hashem, for the rest of his life. Now the first one, since nowadays everything has to be with a good Rosh Tevis, you know, I'm not going to tell you what this reminded me of when I use some of these letters, but my Rosh Tevis for the four ways to connect are CVLQ. It sounds like a weird movement, but the CVLQ movement. What's a CVLQ? So C stands for call. Call Rebbeim. Now, I was just talking to somebody tonight, and we ended up hitting on different Yetzirahs. We know the Yetzirah tries to mess us up in everything we do. But the bigger things we do, Yetzirah tries harder to get us not to do it. Obviously, one of the most important things in life is a kesher with a Rebbe. You know, I get tons and tons of shidduch calls a week. And Baruch Hashem, it's pretty funny people do ask this kasha in the world today because it's not so easy what the answer is they always ask me, you know, is this guy connected with the Rebbe? And it's, don't just do it to get a good shidduch. It's good shlol shma. But you need it for life. You know, we talked about recently, somebody asked me about somebody, and it was they understood from their research that this person, the closest person that they were close to, is their parent. Arshon, the parents of Bentar Chashav Yid, but the Rebbe was quote unquote their parent, and the father of the girl was challenging. He's like, okay, that might work right now for advice of how to handle things in life. What happens when you get married? And not necessarily everything could you discuss with your parents. And the different issues that come up. Who's going to be his Rebbe for marriage then? Gulp. So luckily, this guy, I actually talked things out with him. I actually talked about this issue. Parsha Kivanti. So I was able to answer back. Yeah, the guy said he'd call me. Okay. Check. When's the first date? But a person needs a Rebbe for life. He needs to be connected. And part of being connected is to drop highs, you know, call every so often. And the Yetzer would try a person, tell him, you know, don't call Rabbi Luban. He's going to forget who you are. He's not going to know. He's probably learning now. Rabbi Neiman's so busy. It's not the time. Rabbi Palgon, oh my gosh, he's running everything here. Brigida is probably, you know, in a meeting right now with a kid. You know, mom is saving his life. These people are too busy. Rabbi Kira, I could call. He likes the hawk, but maybe then. But oh no! Rabbi Kira's going to tell my story over to the share, and that's forget about it. Guys, don't you know I cover up everyone's identity, except for Lewis' eyes. But okay. No one knows who Church Boy is. But Lemaisa, I think the C is very important. Kol Rebbeim, don't listen to Yetzer Hara. Worst comes to worst, so Rabbi Lubin will hang up on you. No, everyone knows from his share he doesn't know how to use a phone well. It's by mistake. It doesn't mean it, you know, whatever. But call. V we will see in action very soon. V stands for visit. Oh, for two, I'm counting. V stands for visit. Ezra Hashem, anytime a guy has the capacity, you know, yeshiva is an amazing thing. Once you're here, you're here. But to come back is very hard. And people are busy, you know. Okay, plane tickets, you got good deals, but still, it's not the easiest thing just to pick up and come. You know, real close Talmidim, you know, are able to figure out ways. One of the most beautiful things, you see guys come here for Yamin Narayim, they want to daven with yeshiva. I've seen guys come for Hanukkah, midwinter. You know, there's a guy who came this year. I'll leave out his name, but if you figure out the story, it's okay. A guy who came here to talk to his rebbein before he started dating. Baruch Hashem, he's a chassan. Mamash, one of the tachos of this trip, he came to speak to me and Rabbi Palgan before he started dating. Amazing. That's a smart trip. That's a business trip. Amazing. We know we have guys every year who come for Shavuos, and we're expecting a nice crowd, too. Some of them are staying a little after. The countdown clock is almost there. So yeah, whenever a guy is able to visit, by all means, visit. The next two are C, V, L, and Q. L, and with that, I'm going to start passing this around. Those who are not taking notes could start filling it out. Is listen to Shiurim online or through emails. The yeshiva already has, Baruch Hashem, a nice amount of Shiurim already online, and they're building up to expand that next year to be sending out Shiurim all the time to Talmidim. Chavetz Chaim in Queens already does that in a small way. We plan on Hashem perhaps doing it even in a bigger way. I'm actually passing around a paper now for everyone in yeshiva to please sign up their cell phone number, their email address. This way, before you become alumni, the yeshiva already will have. We had a thing, and the yeshiva had a beautiful alumni event. They got 200 people to show up. And the last few years of guys in yeshiva, they weren't in the books yet as alumni. Meanwhile, why is Moshe Rubenstein not being invited to the Miami event? So last minute, I contacted everyone I could and got the word out. And these guys went and got. But we need email addresses. It doesn't usually come in that I'm emailing guys in the middle of yeshiva. Cell phone numbers, I mean, I have most, but still. Guys should put in the gabbai of this sheet. There's going to be Chaim Lovett. He'll collect it. Anybody who is not here will hunt down. They should be listening to the VOD online. But it's very, very kedai. You don't understand how many people, Baruch Hashem, when you listen to a VOD, you hear Rabbi Luban's VOD, you hear a Shmuz from Rabbi Naaman, or have a Chinuch VOD from Rabbi Palgan. It's a way to connect back to yeshiva. You're not in yeshiva, but you are in yeshiva. And that's a bigger mile than listening to some other Sharon Torah anytime. Some of these people are funny guys, right? Good personalities. Could be they give a better share. But you know what? You'll miss out one aspect if you listen just to Torah Anytime Share versus you listen to Share from your yeshiva. It's called connecting. And that itself, you realize, you listen to a Share, you follow up and you ask the Rebbe, I had a kash on the Share. Just this year, I've had quite a few people call me from either from Halacha Shirim or I got a lot of phone calls about my shaving for Sphira Share. A lot of comments on that one. But the more connection you have, you're working on the share, you're listening to the share, you feel like you're back in yeshiva. You connect with her. An easy way to connect with her, Bayim, then. Follow up on that. That's the L, and finally the Q. The Q stands for, he's not even trying. This is a hard one. Quoting. That's 2 points. But okay, not everyone has to go to Queens. It's on tape. Thank you. I didn't know it had to be said, but yeah. Q stands for quoting. And this I found myself. Now, I remember I learned in Miami for years, and then I did end up in Queens. Not Miami, but I learned by Rabbi Luban and Eretz as well for years. Then I ended up in Queens. And I remember I was just like so caught up in Queens. Did I quote Miami? Did I quote Rabbi Luban? I don't remember so much Be'etzim in my beginning years. Maybe some. I remember the first year I started teaching, which was halfway through Kollel, and I was starting to run the 12th grade Masechta Beis Medrash program. Or started, I should say. So at that point, I was young schnook, and I was giving a vod every single week. Talk about running your own program. So I gave a Moshe vod every single week. I was a schnook of, who knows, 26, 27. Oh, 27 probably. So for a lot of the things, all of a sudden, anytime I had to give a vod on any topic, into my head, plus I have good notes to check it up too, I remembered all these things I heard from Rabbi Luban. Like, I had to focus on it. I remembered it, and I was there. I'll quote him. My mom should be quoting right and left. I didn't realize, like, how much, like, of what was the basis of what I have to give a vod. I'm ready to be a Rebbe. All that stuff was in the cobwebs that I absorbed years and years earlier. Years of the Yankasa. I pushed it. I remember I had the hair. Like, all my years in between. It was a good 10 years, probably, in between. Probably a good 10 years in between from the time I left Eretz Yisrael, started Queens as a bacher. I was married halfway through Kollel, and I'm all of a sudden teaching, giving vadim and this, and it just came out of me, all this stuff that I had from Miami, or Eretz Yisrael, I had both. And I remembered it was a part of me. When you quote something that you learned in yeshiva, that itself connects you to yeshiva. So whether it's calling, connecting with Rebbeim, whether it's visiting the yeshiva, whether it's listening to Shirim online, or quoting something, those are all ways, even after a person sets foot out of yeshiva, he can still connect to yeshiva. He won't be tinach barech mibeis ha-sefer. Yeshiva will be something that will be with him for the rest of his life. I'd like to end with one idea that I heard many times. I mean, just tonight, I was sitting, I had to help somebody with Sichos Musar, and I'm going through the shmooze from Chaim Shmulevitz, and like the shmooze is seared into my head. Not just because it's a famous shmooze and happened to be that the person I'm about to speak of told the shmooze over to the Howard Schultz, the owner of Starbucks, but this shmooze I heard multiple times from none other than Nosson Zvi Finkel. Remember, he always, a lot of times, would say over Chaim Shmulevitz to shmuzim. So he said over the shmuz from Chaim Shmulevitz. Like, the fact that I connected it, I heard that straight from Nosson Zvi multiple times. Like, it made a bigger impact on me, you know. So, one of the other things, I heard many things from Nosson Zvi, Baruch Hashem, I discussed to learn by him for 2 years, just on Fridays, hearing shmuzim. But one of the things I heard from him, said multiple times also, that people look back, you know, in their life, and, you know, Baruch Hashem, you have, you know, everyone, Baruch Hashem, should have many, many happy years ahead of them, and there are wonderful moments. Hashem, start dating, get married, have kids, all personal successes and growth, a lot of individual moments in life, which are amazing. But in terms of a period of life, your years in yeshiva are really, really a special thing. And Nosson Zvi would say, guys, look back years later, and they would say with nostalgia that the best years of their life are the years in yeshiva. The closest friends they have in life are their friends from yeshiva. And it's something we should appreciate. A lot of times people only appreciate things after it's gone. I'm here at least 2.5 weeks early. Tell you, don't wait till it's over to appreciate it. Appreciate it now. Thank you very much for listening.